Dear friends, turn to the Word of God, and our passage this morning is verses 22 to 28 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. And my subject for this message is from this conversation between our Lord Jesus Christ and this Gentile, this heathen woman who had a desperate need. And it is about a crumb from Christ's hand. Dear friends, some people are looking at devastating family problems. Some are looking at financial difficulties. Some are looking at problems with a child, maybe. Some are looking at problems in relationships within the home, outside of the home. Some are looking at their own souls and realizing that there are things not right there. And maybe even if they are lost. Some are looking at illnesses, diseases, and wondering what lies ahead of them. Some are looking at their parents and realizing that they won't be here forever. In the midst of all of these thoughts, in the midst of all of these real problems, we have the Word of God. We must draw near to the Word of God. We must open our Bible daily and read it and find the answers in the Word of God. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. Where do we find solutions? From the Word of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We need God in our lives, dear friends. And if only we would receive, like this woman desired, just a crumb from Christ's hand, not even a loaf of bread, but just a little crumb. He will change our circumstances. He would make us right with God. That's the most important thing. And that's what He does is done forever. A crumb from Christ's hand changes things forever. And that's the situation we are looking at in this passage today. Jesus is approached by a mother who is in a desperate situation. She needs something in her life. She comes to the Lord and as she does, as you have it here, and she's not asking for a whole loaf of bread. She says, I just need a crumb. I just need a crumb. She sees our Lord Jesus Christ as being so powerful, so glorious, even the smallest blessings changes her life forever. Is that what you ask for, dear friends? Maybe you are here and you have a whole list of things. And you come like this woman this morning to the Lord Jesus. He is the same, the Bible says, yesterday and today and forever. So here is this woman, and she knows that a little crumb is better than nothing. And maybe you have nothing, but Christ gives you. Even the smallest of His mercies is a blessing. There are three things that I want you to notice from this passage. First of all, the call that is made to Jesus Christ. The call to Jesus in verse 22. Secondly, the persistence with Jesus Christ. Not just the call to Jesus, but the persistence with Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, the answer from Jesus Christ. So the call, the persistence, and the answer. These are the three things that I want you to notice. First of all, the call to Jesus Christ. Here is this woman's petition. Look at verse 22. It says, and behold, look at this. This is something amazing that is taking place. You have to underline it. It's not an ordinary thing. And behold, it says, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Here is a great teaching. We must call upon God out of desperation. The reason we don't call upon God, but the reason we neglect Him is because we don't really see the desperate state that you and I are in, spiritually speaking. We think all will be well, all will work itself out at the end. But here is this woman who has seen their reality. Things aren't going to get better. This woman came to the Lord Jesus because she was concerned. And the concern was her daughter. The child was demon-possessed. And she, how did she know about this? She probably was acting out all strangely, violently. We have it in the Word of God. The violence, the demons cause in the life of the person. The anger and the rage. It wasn't a happy home, the home of this woman. She needed help in a desperate way. She might have tried this and that, and being a Canaanite woman, she would have been very superstitious. She would have tried all the religious things, superstitious things, maybe around her house. There are all kinds of things hanging. All kinds of images, pictures, all kinds of incense burning, all kinds of people who'd come around her house to no avail. And she comes now crying. Look at that word. She cried, it says. The word cried speaks about crying out, shouting after someone else. You see someone walking down the road and someone else is shouting after them, crying out after them. This is what she was doing. She was following after the Lord Jesus and His disciples, shouting to Him for help that she needed. Why was she so frantic? Because ultimately she was heartbroken. Her heart was broken over her own daughter. Over the fact that her own daughter, her own child had this condition. And she was determined. You see, the woman's determination, the mother's determination. She was determined to get her child the help that she needed. Women have this determination for your children. We do all kinds of things for our children. But make sure you don't put them and in places where they are being influenced by demonic things, by ungodly things. But bring them before the Lord Jesus. Cry to the Lord Jesus Christ for your children. Seek to help your children to follow the Lord. Why is she calling? The reason she calls. Mark tells us the same recording of a parallel passage in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7 and verse 25. It says that the reason she comes to the Lord, because she heard of Him. Listen to this. It says in Mark 7:25, "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of Him and came and fell at His feet." This is amazing. She heard of Him. That's all. That was enough. She heard something about the Lord Jesus and what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing. Perhaps she had heard about how Jesus had healed all manner of diseases. Maybe she had heard about how He had opened the eyes of the blind and He had unstopped the ears of the deaf. Maybe she had heard about how He had driven the demons out of other people. Oh, if He had done it for others, maybe He could do the same for him or her. She may have heard about how Jesus had gone over into the country of the Gadarenes and that He had delivered this man who was possessed of a legion of demons. And she may have said, if He can deliver that man from a legion of demons, surely He can deliver my daughter from the grip of just one devil. So this woman came to Jesus because she had heard. Because also she had faith and she had hope. Hope and faith had sparked in her heart. She needed something that society had not been able to provide for her. She was looking for something that her dead religion and superstitious religion had been powerless to give her. She needed a solution that she had not been able to provide by her own self-efforts. Oh, my friends, she needed Jesus. And she had tried and tried. And my friends, works religion will not save you. If you simply seek to work to make yourself right with God, that will not do. You see, that's the difference between true Christianity and many, many different religions. All kinds of false Christianities. There are the cults. There is the Roman Catholic teaching. There is Islam. There is Hinduism, Buddhism. All of these things. That even some of it is coming through with the New Age teaching of Buddhism and Hinduism. Coming, affecting all kinds of things. And people say, well, I'm a spiritualist. I'm a spiritual person. I don't believe in Christianity and the Bible, but I'm a spiritual person. I believe in some sort of a higher power. Well, none of those things is going to make us right with God who has made us. And this woman had come to realize this. Sadly, there are many people in this world who grow old in all of these things and they don't come to realize this. And they become bitter and hopeless. And you see them when they hear the gospel, they become angry at it. Because all through their life they have been neglecting it, rejecting it. I hope none of us become like that. She has come and she has become desperate. And she saw Jesus as her only hope. So she comes crying out. That's a good start. That's a good thing. The call to Jesus. The second thing is this. The persistence with Jesus Christ. Some people would become very impatient with us. Some people, you go to them, you'd be even fearful to go to them. You don't want to call them. You don't want to visit them. Because you're afraid. You will never ask them for anything because they will not receive you. They won't hear you. But Jesus Christ not only hears us, but we can persist with Him. We can go to Him again and again and again. And that is what this woman does. This woman's persistence was a good thing. And you must persist. Read those words, verses 23 onwards. But he answered, so she asked this question, that her daughter is sick. Have mercy on me, she says. And then you read in verse 23, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Do you see? This woman comes to Jesus for help, and when she doesn't get the response that she imagines, she stays after Jesus until she gets what she wants. See, dear friends, in the life of a true person who is seeking Jesus Christ and who comes to faith, there'll be some obstacles of faith. Don't be surprised about some obstacles. You see, the Christian faith is not something that you just get it by sailing through it. Just saying, well, I just put my hand up. I just make an assent. I just make a decision. And it's like water. Drink it. Like a sweet that you can suck on. And that's it. No. There's certain obstacles that the Lord puts to say, are you real? Are you for real? Let's see these obstacles. And you're shocked when you see how Jesus Christ responds. This is not the best way of evangelism, you would tell him. This is not the right kind of thing. Why would you? I know better than what Jesus should be doing. I would have done it a better thing. This is not how you attract people into the Christian faith. But this is exactly what this woman faced, obstacle after obstacle. And she overcame them by faith, persistent faith. So she had come, one of the things that we notice, she had come, she had to overcome race. She had come, it says in verse 21, it says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts. She had to put to one side about the fact that she is not a Jew. She had to overcome God's lawful ways. She came to Jesus and called out to him and said, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. She had to recognize who Jesus Christ is. She can't anymore think differently of the Lord Jesus. Here she was a Gentile mother crying out to the Jewish Messiah. She wasn't going to come with her own opinions anymore. She had to put them all to one side. She had no right to come to Jesus through the door of Judaism. She realized that. She was a Gentile, and he gave her the response that she deserved. He answered her not a word, it says in verse 23. She had to overcome to her nationalism. When the disciples see and hear this Gentile calling out to their Messiah, and not just to their Messiah, but she was calling out of desperation to all of them. Because the disciples come and complain. And in verse 23, it says, she crieth after us. Not just of the Lord Jesus, but after us too. That's interesting. And they come complaining. And they say to the Lord Jesus, turn her away. That's the reaction. And sometimes Christians do some foolish things. So don't be surprised. This happens all the time. If you're not a Christian, and sometimes you see in Christians' lives things that offends you, things that you see is not right, remember they are sinners as well. And this is the reaction of these disciples. They wanted nothing to do with her. She was not one of their people. In their eyes, she was different, and that was enough to justify them not caring about her at all. So she had to overcome all of these things. She had to overcome this rejection. And as Jesus speaks to this woman, when he begins to speak, his words appear very harsh to her ears and to our ears too. His words, the words of the Lord Jesus, must have shaken her to the very core of her being. It probably broke her heart. So first, he simply ignores her. Doesn't want to know, as it were. It is as if he turns an indifferent ear to her cries for help. Then he tells her that his whole purpose in coming is that he is coming to this world to reach the lost tribes of Israel, the lost sheep of Israel. But then she persists. And when she persists, Jesus tells her that she is a dog. Imagine that. She doesn't deserve the children's bread. The disciples rejected her, and now it appears that the Lord Jesus is rejecting her too. Another thing that she had to overcome was the reality. The reality. The realities of this situation are harsh. Her daughter was possessed by a devil. That's a serious thing. It's not easy for us to grasp, but it was a serious thing. Her daughter was possessed. She was a member of a doomed race. These religious men did not seem to care about her or her situation at all. And the person that she thought would be able to help her, he ignored her. And she called her a dog. And she said, I didn't come to save others, but Israelites only. So it must have appeared to her that her situation was hopeless. Now, friends, you hear these things and you think, well, it's a very sad thing. But actually, it's a very encouraging thing. Here's a woman who has become awakened. She's been awakened to the reality of life and death and Christ. You see, afflictions, troubles in your life, illnesses, diseases, sometimes prove a blessing to your soul. This Canaanitish mother, no doubt, had been severely tried. She had gone through dark times and hopeless times, and she had seen her darling child vexed with the devil. And she couldn't help. She couldn't relieve her. But yet this trouble that she has, she brought it to the Lord Jesus. That's a good thing. The Lord was teaching her to pray. Have you been taught to pray through your afflictions? So the troubles brought her to Jesus. And without it, she might have lived and died careless and ignorant. Never seen the Lord Jesus Christ at all. Surely it was good for her that she was afflicted, as the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 71. So mark this well. There is nothing which shows our ignorance so much as our impatience under trouble. We forget that every cross is a message from God. That if we actually look at it in the right way, it is intended to do us good and not to harm us. At the end, the Lord wants us to seek Him with all our hearts. Trials, dear friends, illnesses, problems, they're intended to make you not grumpy and to be complaining, but trials are intended to make us to think, to wean us from this world, to send us to our Bibles, to drive us to our knees. Dear friends, health is a good thing. But you can go to hell with a healthy body. Health is a good thing. But sickness is far better if it is to lead us to Jesus Christ. Prosperity is a great mercy. But lack of it and adversity is a greater blessing if we are brought to Jesus Christ and made to depend on Him only. Anything is better than living in carelessness and dying in sin. Better to be 1,000 times afflicted and have tears running down our cheeks, but to be like this woman, to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus, to flee to the Lord Jesus, than to live at ease and to be like that rich fool who died at last without Christ. And that night, his soul was required of him without hope. But then what you see is the opportunities of faith here. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 7 and verse 25 or 27, you read this. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet or it is not right to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. The Lord Jesus, as he speaks with this woman, he never, you see, slams the door shut. He doesn't slam the door of hope in her face. As Mark gives us the encounter, he records the Lord Jesus Christ saying, let the children first be filled. And that word first, it was her hope. It was the best thing. It is like when the Apostle Paul says about, it is not that many rich are saved. And that, there's the woman, the Countess of Huntington. She said, I'm so glad for that letter M in front of that word. If it said any rich, she was a very prosperous woman. She was part of the royal family, Countess of Huntington. You can read about it. She supported George Whitefield in his activities and preaching. And she said, "But I have so much of this world, but I have the Lord Jesus. And that is the most important thing. And so I'm so thankful that it doesn't say any rich versus many rich." And here is this hope of this woman that says, let the children first be filled. That's all that she needed. The Lord didn't say, you can't have what you are looking for. He said, I have come first for the children of Israel. And they must be filled first. So she took that there are seconds coming as well. And what you find is, in verse 27 now, you see the obligations of faith. It says in verse 27, and she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. You know, a lot of people would have given up by now. Jesus ignored her. The disciples rejected her background. Jesus even compared her to a dog, and yet she persisted. Most people would have thrown up their hands in frustration, and they would have stormed off in anger. They would have said, I don't need this. I have already so many troubles, and I came to this man and he's not even helping. I don't need this. So much of your God of love. So much of for your message of compassion and your narrow, bigoted message and religion. I don't want anything to do with a God or a religion like that. That's one way she could have responded. And that's the way many react when they do not get what they want. When they want it. But not this woman. She persisted in spite of everything that was thrown into her path. Why? Because essentially, God was drawing her. That's what the Lord was doing. Her hope and faith was set on Jesus Christ, and nothing was going to deter her. Also, she persisted because too much was at stake. Her little daughter needed to be delivered from her bondage. Her family needed to be saved. She needed help, and she was determined to get it. A crumb might have been all that she could get, but she knew that a crumb from the hand of Jesus would be more than enough. So she wouldn't give up until she got what she needed. Friends, too much is at stake. Too much is at stake. Your soul is at stake. Your family's soul is at stake. Be like this poor mother. Keep bringing that need to Jesus until He answers. Keep seeking His face until He responds. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. And in His time, He'll hand you down this morsel of the answered prayer. There are parents who sacrifice anything for their children. How many miles have you driven for your children? How many places have we gone? Here and there, they've got this thing happening. Oh, we need to go. And parents become taxi drivers for their children. I'm not saying it is a wrong thing, but this is just a matter of life. We do all sorts of things. The resources that we spend on ourselves and other people. The time that we spent. And yet how much of this kind of desperate pleadings and beggings and prayings is done on the behalf of others. Will you wait until you get the answer from the Lord? The Lord Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So dear friends, here you have the call to the Lord Jesus and the persistence with the Lord Jesus. But finally, the answer from the Lord Jesus. You will, dear friends, finally receive the answer as you continue persisting with the Lord Jesus. No one has gone to Jesus Christ and has been turned away. So look at verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole. She was made healthy from that very hour. So the Lord Jesus responded to this woman's faith. She rewarded this woman's faith. Look, you think about all the different people that the Lord also answered and helped. You think about there was that Jairus. He came and he places his daughter in the hand of the Lord Jesus, and Jesus raised her from the dead. You have, there is Lazarus. 4 days he was in the tomb, and stinking, and Mary and Martha, they placed him into the hands of the Lord Jesus, and Lazarus lives. There's a multitude that need to be fed, but they have no food. A few loaves and fishes are placed into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, and suddenly everyone had more than enough. There are the disciples that we read in the scriptures, in a boat, in a storm, in the middle of the lake, ready to be drowned in the dead of night. They're afraid, and they place themselves into the hand of the Lord Jesus, and they arrive safely to the shore. You look to the leper, he is healed. You look to the blind man, he sees. You look to the deaf man, he hears. You look to the crippled man, he walks again. A man who is possessed of the demons, he is healed and set free. You see all of these people. But then you must see Jesus Christ. He hangs upon the cross. He's dead. He dies. His blood is running down. They pierce his side and blood and water flow out, showing that his heart has exploded. They take his body down. They place it in the grave. And you look, and then on the third day, the tomb is empty. Christ has risen, indeed. They thought that evil has won, but Christ won. So you wait, you persist, and you see him with his disciples. He lives. What encouragement, dear friends, when you think about, you put all of these things together, all of these pictures, realities of the Bible together, and you see what Christ does for poor sinners. What an encouragement it is to persevere in prayer, both for ourselves and for others. It is hard to think about any other striking illustration of this truth that we have this passage. The prayer of this afflicted mother. At first, it seemed entirely unnoticed. Jesus answered her not a word. She prayed on. It fell upon deaf ears. The disciples that spoke against her. The Lord Jesus then went on and said that I didn't come for you. And she went on praying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Have mercy upon me, O God. Hope deferred did not make her heart sick. She wasn't going to keep silent. She carried on pleading. Only the crumbs. I just want crumbs. That's all. I want crumbs of mercy to be granted to me. And as she went on pleading, the Lord says, Woman, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. He said elsewhere, seek and ye shall find. Let us remember this account, this history, when we pray for ourselves. We are sometimes tempted to think that we get no good by our prayers and that we may as well just give up, give in to the things, just let it all go. Let us resist that temptation. That comes from the devil. Let us believe and pray on against all of your besetting sins, against this spirit of this world, against the schemes and the plans of the devil, let us pray on and not faint. Let us pray on to trust the Lord Jesus. Let us pray on to follow Him and do what is our duty. Let us pray on for grace to bear with the trials and to have contentment in our hearts. Let us pray on for comfort in every trouble. Let us continue in prayer. Let us be sure that no time is so well spent in every day and as when we spent it upon our knees. Jesus hears us and in His own good time will give the answer. But make sure you go to Jesus. Make sure you don't simply unload your burdens on other people and even yourself, just going over it and over it and over it. What do? Other than spinning your wheels and you get yourself in the rut and become filled with sadness and bitterness and anger. Take all of those things to the Lord Jesus for the saving of your soul and for your daily life. Here was this woman and she did the best of things. And the Lord Jesus Christ did give her salvation for her own soul because she has faith, which is the gift of God, and their family was saved too. May the Lord help us then in all of these things for Christ's sake.